In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Barkov cuts away from Orlov, slides it across, score! Carter Verhaeghe! And the Panthers go back on top.
Florida's through. They are on their way to their third consecutive Stanley Cup final. By the way, that the Prince of Wales trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awarded to the Eastern Conference champion.
Yes, because it used to be the Prince of Wales Conference.
Yeah, has been won by a team in Florida 6 years in a row.
Oh, man.
Boston in 2019 is the last time. So that is hey, it's the state of hockey. At least around here. Anyways, let's go to the Western Hotline and let's bring in Tom Gazzola, buddy from Oil Stream, pre- and post-game show host for Edmonton, Edmonton Sports Talk, and my former co-host on the Locked On NHL podcast.
Nice.
As well. Tom, what's up, man? Good to talk to you, and thanks for getting up early for us.
No, thank you, Joe. It's beautiful here in Edmonton. The sun's been up for like an hour, I swear to God. So you just wake up. It's actually really, really nice up here, so... my pleasure, and I'm not going to lie to you. As soon as the sun wakes up, I'm like a squirrel, and I'm just like fidgeting all over. Like, what? I'm missing something. I'm getting FOMO, so
yeah.
I'm just sipping on a coffee before I go into the studio for today. It's a big one here in oil country, and good to be back on the airwaves with you.
All right, so I'm not taking you away from like an early morning golf round or anything out there. Is it that nice? Because here it's been raining in 50 here, Tom, for, well, 50 Fahrenheit. It's been cold and rainy for like a week.
Yeah, it is actually legit gorgeous here. I would think convert from Celsius to Fahrenheit. I think we're in the mid-80s. We're going to have one of those days, Woo! Not a cloud in the sky.
Nice,
nice and beautiful. Yeah, yeah. It's been gorgeous.
All right. Well, a big one tonight against Dallas. I want to get to the potential rematch against Florida with you for sure and some of the lineup stuff for the Oilers. But the way this series is going, up 3-1, is the story that the Stars just can't figure out how to score goals?
I think that's a fair storyline to bring up. I would say there's a couple of things that have happened. We're sitting here looking at the Stars going, what's up with all their big stars? What's happening with Mikko Rantanen, just a couple of points in this series? What's happening with Roope Hintz? We know he's hurt now after going into the little scrum with Darnell Nurse a couple of games ago and taking a slash on the top of the foot, and that's kept him out. But he's been ineffective even before he got injured. Jamie Benn, he's an older guy now. Tyler Seguin, he's been nicked up for years, and he's getting older. And Jason Robertson has been a little bit banged up. So I think we've kind of attributed the lack of offensive punch from the Stars to that. And then when you go and you look at the Oilers, you're like, wow, this team's actually playing decent defensively. They are really efficient with the puck in their own zone. Maybe you look at the roster and you look at the D-men and you go, well, that's not really a strong defense on paper, but these guys in this team has been really efficient with the puck, and they have kind of patched it together without Matthias Ekholm for the last month and a bit. So I think a couple of factors go into it. But, yeah, I think for us, at least watching it from an Edmonton media perspective, it just feels like the Stars, big guns, just haven't been firing at all.
It does feel like this year, Tom, is a bit under the radar for how they've kind of had to adjust their game a little bit, right? We talked a lot about that with Toronto here in Buffalo and in this part of the North America. Toronto had to be a little bit more comfortable playing closer games. I feel like maybe Edmonton has its reputation of being high-flying, of course, but they've had to win different ways this year.
They have. And the other thing, too, we talked, that's a great point, because we've been talking about how Edmonton's gone through so many lessons over the last few years, especially in the postseason and the harshest ones. They've lost to, what, the last couple of Stanley Cup champions going back to Colorado. So it seems like they've finally learned their lesson and matured. And in the regular season, you know, there was a lot of frustration around here because it wasn't an ideal regular season. They weren't good on the penalty kill. They weren't good in their own zone. Their five-on-five play was spotty at best. They were bad in the neutral zone. They couldn't save a goal off the rush most games. There's so many issues throughout the regular season that you look at, and there were people around here going, geez, they're not even going to get out of the first round against the LA Kings. And then as soon as the playoffs started, all the guys that were strategically rested to be healthy for the postseason came back, and then, you know, they dropped the first two games against LA, and it just seemed to all click for game three here in Edmonton, and they haven't looked back since. But yeah, the defense side of the game has been a huge, huge part of what has gotten the Oilers back to this situation. And you know, it wasn't a pretty and it wasn't a smooth road to get here, but they seem to have figured it out. And I think a lot of it can be attributed to lessons learned in the past.
Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, joined by Tom Gazzola on the West Hurt Hotline. How much confidence do Oilers fans have in Stuart Skinner right now, who's had three great games in a row, but he's Stuart Skinner? I don't know. You always might worry about, you know, the one implosion game that could happen.
Yeah, well, Joe, if you would have asked me that about 2.5 weeks ago, they hated him. They thought that Olivier Rodrigue, who's been toiling in the minors for the last 4 or 5 years, was the answer after Calvin Pickard went down mid-series against the Vegas Golden Knights. But now Stu Skinner's kind of won them over again. He's starting to show the same type of play that he had last year in the postseason after the Vancouver series, where he had to get pulled for a couple of games. Calvin Pickard went in, won one, lost one, and then Stuart Skinner went and he shut the door the rest of the way. Obviously, tough go against the Florida Panthers in the first three games of the Stanley Cup final last year, but his MO right now, they're calling him Mr. Game 4. He's 6-0 now in game fours in his career. A couple of shutouts in there. I think he's got it down to like a 123 goals against average, like a 930 something save percentage. But when the series get longer, he gets better. And it took him a little bit of time, 6 games. He had a whole series and a half to kind of figure it out as you watch Calvin Pickard rattle off 6 straight wins. And then he's come back. He's been pretty solid since. And the confidence from the fan base, though, I mean, they're always going to be – this is a fan base that's never really appeased until you go and win a Stanley Cup. And we make the joke that this team could win 16 in a row in the playoffs, and some fans would still be like, "Well, should have been 82-0 in the regular season." I'll tell you what, this team, I'll give them this one. But it's just that fickle fan base at times. And of course, I'm exaggerating, but when it comes to the confidence in Skinner, it's growing back. He is winning over the fans a little bit. But there are still some detractors out there that look at him and go, yeah, well, Calvin Pickard's better, still on a 6-game winning streak. Get him in here as soon as Skinner lets in more than 2 goals in a game.
Tom, how big of a loss is Zach Hyman? Noted Bills fan Zach Hyman out for probably the season, it looks like, after wrist surgery. How big of a loss is that for the Edmonton Oilers?
That's huge. There's no denying it. I mean, he all of a sudden became a wrecking ball physically in this postseason. He was on pace to set a record for hits in the playoffs, and already had a couple before he got hurt the other night when Mason Marchment collided with him. And he's just been Mr. Clutch. Everything that you need from him, he provides, and that much more. He's kind of a glue guy in the room. The guys generally love him, and You know, he's not the fastest guy. He doesn't do it the prettiest way, but he gets the job done. And they're going to miss that tenacity. They're going to miss that physical play. They're going to miss that offensive punch at key moments. And probably one of the best signings in franchise history. And you know, he is a guy that I think it was a bit of heartbreak for fans to see him get hurt. And people were wishful and hopeful that it wasn't that bad. But once you saw him not come back in that first period, you knew it had to be bad, because that's a guy that'll play through a lot of pain. Had a Bouchard bomb taken off the face, I think, last year or earlier this season, but last calendar year. He made the comment that his nose sounded like a bag of chips that got crushed, and they had to have a cast on there, and he didn't miss a beat after coming back playing with a full visor on his head and his helmet for a chunk of time. This is a warrior. That's the best way to describe Zach Hyman, and they're going to miss him dearly. The good thing is they have some depth and good veteran players that that can step in, and guys who have been playing decently well in the postseason. Connor Brown's nicked up right now. He won't play tonight, but he's a guy they're going to be eager to get back in the lineup. And for whatever reason, you guys, and Joe and I talked about it on our station here in Edmonton, going into when the Oilers signed Jeff Skinner, there are people here that are sympathetic to Jeff Skinner and want to see him get back into the playoffs. He's played one game. He got his playoff game, picked up a point. He was a classic dash two. And people would text into our shows and be like, don't you think Jeff Skinner should get in? I feel so bad for him, don't you? I said, no. He's made over $100 million. He's just fine. He's skipping his way to a final here. He'll be okay, but he is still waiting in the wings. And with the hole left behind by Hyman, there's a couple of options available to them.
Yeah. I'm sure he wants to get in the lineup, no doubt. I kind of would understand both ends of it. You're right. We've had a lot of discussion on him, and he ended pretty well, right? It was like 17 points in his final 30 or something for the Oilers. Yeah. I also, watching him for years, even though he had that point in game one, you tell me if you disagree, his game isn't, it's not something that makes you think it would get better in the postseason, you know? Like, I'm not saying he couldn't perform, and especially if you put him on a top line with McDavid or Dreisaitl, I'm sure he would, but, you know, I also don't expect him to be running around physical. Like, that would be my question, is him in a long playoff series kind of get bodied out of the series?
Yes. I mean, Joe, I think it was you that came on our station after the signing and you said, don't expect him to generate his own offense. Don't expect a lot from him in his own zone. He can get streaky. He's a finisher. That's exactly what he ended up being. And he kind of fell out of favor with the coaching staff really quickly. I think people expected him to be on a line with McDavid or Draisaitl, one or the other. Both of those scenarios lasted minimal games. And you know what? He ended up seeing himself in the press box more often than not for a short while there. And third and fourth line minutes, that's not his game. If they were to insert him in the playoffs again, he doesn't really change. He's an offensive mercenary, let's call him. And I know they'd probably ask him to do a little bit more than that. And I'm sure for a few games he could kind of get outside of his comfort zone and try to be more of a third, fourth line grinder. But that's not really his style. He's been in the league for, 14, 15 years now, and I don't think you're going to change his stripes all of a sudden. But maybe for a few games, and you ask a guy to sacrifice for a Stanley Cup, some of them can do it. Maybe he would, but I don't know. I don't know if they're too eager to get him in just yet.
Yeah, all that being said, do you think he'll get in tonight, that he'll be in the lineup?
This is probably his best chance, because the other option is, there's a couple of things. They have Max Jones that's waiting around. Derek Ryan hasn't played in the playoffs. They got some veteran bodies that are still kicking around that they could put in there. And then they have Matthias Ekholm, who's recovering from a lower body injury, hasn't played since April 11th. So they could go 11-7.
11-7.
Or they could put Jeff Skinner in there and try to get it done with him and play him probably minimal minutes. I'm guessing like 8 minutes. Tonight. So this is his best chance to get back in, just due to the circumstance of injury. So I'd personally expect to see Jeff Skinner get in over going 11-7 with Matthias Ekholm. But when your best defenseman is saying he's close, he can be pretty persuasive. and they might end up just going 11-7. But I think Skinner would be the right play here.
Tom, before we get into a possible matchup with the Panthers, give us some insight what it's like in Canada, not having won a cup in 31 years and covering a team that's there again. You know, I mean, the weight, is there a weight that goes along with that from the fans, the media, the team?
I think so. I think a little bit. I feel like it probably has subsided a little bit. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, with everything that's gone on between the two countries this year, you're seeing a lot of like Rogers commercials that are heavy emphasis on like 80s rock bands from Canada, that kind of music, and everybody's, you know, pumping their chest with the Maple Leaf, and that's cool. We appreciate that, but it hasn't come with that much of a burden. And I think what's kind of like alleviated some of that is the fact that Canadian teams have gone to the Cup final in the last three decades, unfortunately losing a bunch of times. The Oilers doing it in Game 7 a couple of times. The Flames losing in Game 7. We saw the Canucks losing in Game 7. So Calgary, you know, who else? Ottawa got in there, Montreal, which was weird. But I think that has kind of alleviated some of the quote-unquote pressure in Canada for a Canadian team to get it done. Obviously, this streak since 93 is something that Canadians aren't particularly happy about, but I don't think it's as big of a deal. But I think once that gets, you know, wrapped up and it's gone, people will just look at it as a footnote. But I think the fact that you're in a Canadian market and this is our game, I don't think anybody hides it. There's always going to be that added pressure to get it done. These guys can't go anywhere in Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary, Ottawa, Winnipeg, whatever, you name it, without people recognizing them. You want to go get gas? Well, people are going to tell you about the power play. You want to go get groceries or you want to go for a movie night or something like that? Well, you're going to hear about why didn't you beat the Flames 2 weeks ago? Stuff like that. Like, it's always going to be there, but the onus, because it's a Canadian team, to get it done and hasn't happened since 93. I don't think it's as big of a thing as maybe it used to be, especially after the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah. The rematch, Tom Cazzola is with us on the Western Hotline for a few more minutes. The Panthers are through, and I don't want to fast forward you. They still got to win a game here. But if the Oilers do get through, how different would you expect a matchup to be? How much more confident would you expect to be about the Oilers' chances in a series against Florida? Both teams are banged up. I mean, Hyman out is big. The Panthers, I mean, Reinhardt is playing through injury. I don't think Tkachuk looks healthy. He's still putting up points, but he just doesn't look like he can move all that well. He's so physical that he'll figure out a way to make an impact anyway. But I don't know, like, how does this Panther team compare from the one that Edmonton saw last year, in your opinion?
Joe, I think it's similar, honestly. And I don't know what to expect so much. How should I explain this? I think it's more so watching the Oilers to see if they can figure out the Florida Panthers. I think there was certainly kind of an element of surprise last year in the Stanley Cup final from the Oilers, and it was all very new to them. They had gotten to the third round before, but never gotten to the big dance, and I think they have to kind of get acclimated to that. And then finally, when they did, it was already 3-0 Florida, and then the Oilers started to wake up and understand that, yes, it's still just hockey, but it's the final boss, and you gotta show up. You can't just step on the ice and expect your skill to take over. That's not how it works in the Stanley Cup final. So I think from an Oilers point of view, I think they'll use that lesson. I think they have that familiarity with the Panthers. Florida was really good against the Oilers in the regular season, but again, it wasn't an ideal regular season for Edmonton. So there's a couple of things that I would look to when the Oilers make the Stanley Cup final and they face the Florida Panthers. How does Chris Knobloch adjust his strategy against Florida? How healthy is Edmonton? I think that's an important thing. And then you've got McDavid and Draisaitl, who I don't think have cracked a smile in over a month and a half. And how much is this loss to the Panthers last year motivating them to kind of go supernova and right or wrong from last year? And so I think that's kind of some things that Oilers fans can be confident in, is this team has shown that it can adapt and adjust to its opponent this postseason. And then you've got like two of the best players in the world, plus a couple goalies that are playing good hockey, a team's defense that's kind of come together, even though it's not the best on paper. And there's some, you know, the health of the team is okay, but you list off the injuries to the Panthers and guys who look nicked up. The Oilers have their fair share of bumps and bruises as well. So I think the Oilers will be more competitive in this series. I think that last year's loss is going to motivate them. And then the fact that these guys are mature, they seem to have learned their lesson. They'll use that and maybe get the result that they want. And the stigma of being a Canadian team that can't win a Stanley Cup, and we could be celebrating in the streets of Edmonton here.
Yeah, you're not kidding about McDavid, by the way, like not smiling in a couple of months. I mean, maybe you, if you watched it, there was that Amazon, I know I watched it, the Amazon face-off series from last year. McDavid is, I don't know that he comes off this way.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Publicly, maybe people are getting more of a view of it now, but that dude is intense.
Yes. Do you know how many Dig the Expletive In t-shirts are floating around this city now? That's a big thing because of that series. So,
yeah.
But he just looks like a grumpy cat walking around, and same with Drysdale. And I, if that's any indication as to where their mindset is at, people are kind of appreciating it. And far, so good. Let's see if that continues.
I want to ask you about McDavid's contract, and can it get possibly contentious once July 1st comes around and into next year? Obviously, they wouldn't want him to go into the final year of his deal without having a deal, but I guess it's possible. How do you see it playing out? Is this early? Like July 1st comes and they sign McDavid to a long-term extension worth a gazillion dollars, or
yeah, and does that happen?
How does this work?
It could, or does it even happen, Tom, 30 seconds after he's eligible to sign it?
Right.
Yeah. I think the Drysdale contract last offseason, that was kind of the the big test to see if these two guys were committed to the city, because the city obviously loves them and the organization wants to keep them. It would be stupid to not want them. But once Leon Draisaitl signed long term and that the price point he did, it was kind of like a sigh of relief from the fan base and people going, okay, well, his best friend just signed here. That probably indicates that he's going to be sticking around. And I think that belief holds true. There's no reason for it not to be the case. I mean, McDavid's wife just opened up a new fancy bar restaurant with her business in the top floor of a historic building right downtown here in Edmonton. And everybody here seems to be committed to the city, all the veteran players. And McDavid's kind of the guy that runs the show. He's the guy driving the bus, and I think he wants to stay here. So I do think the business side of it will have to, play its course or run its course and play out. I'm pretty sure that Daryl Cates is going to open up the wallet and say, hey, Cate, what do you need? Want some more? Sure. He'll probably get the biggest contract in NHL history and push things up and appease the NHLPA, and it will be long term. They're going to do everything in their power to make sure he's, a lifetime Oiler. And whether or not that's like announced right after July 1st or whatever, I'm not sure, but I think it gets taken care of before the start of training camp. And we're talking about McDavid, trying to cement his legacy the same way Crosby has in Pittsburgh. I think that's kind of his mindset, go post to post with one franchise and take it to the tippy top of the mountain. And, he's almost done that. The money's certainly here for him and the opportunity, and him and his family have kind of invested in the community. So I think there's a lot of indicators saying he's going to be sticking around. But, you can't blame Leafs fans for wanting and longing for him. And they've been pestering Oilers fans a lot. We see it from our listeners and viewers that, Leafs fans just can't get over this whole thing. And they're saying, wait till the off season when the Leafs make this great offer to McDavid and say, okay, well, that's cute. But yeah, I think it gets taken care of.
It's not at the same level here, Tom, but it's the same thing is happening here with Sabres fans and Marner, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Which is
what would be great is if Buffalo got Marner, that would be wonderful. And that helps the turnaround. And all of a sudden the Sabres are beating the wheels off the Leafs and making the playoffs. And I would love to see that. Here's one thing that brings Canadians together outside of Toronto. Watching the Leafs suffer, that's universal outside of Toronto, to be honest with you.
And then you can bother me in May to talk hockey, which, that never happens. It's always the other way around.
I would love that.
You call me in the fall or the winter, I call you in the spring. That's generally how this goes.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, we had a good team together when we were doing the Lockdown AHL podcast. Yeah. And it's great. I mean, every time you come on, Joe, people are like, geez, that Joe DiBiase. I'm like, he's the best.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Well, maybe one of these years you'll call me in May. The team's got to figure it out. But there'll be a reason.
Just imagine. Sabres Oilers in the final to the detriment of everybody around the league. And you and me are just high-stepping to the rink every day.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in 25 years about that one.
Okay.
Maybe,
at this deal.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, guys.
At Tom Gazzola, if you want to follow him on Twitter, Good Oils Foul on Twitter, if you want to check him out there.
Can you put him out?
So the Oilers tonight against Dallas, 8 o'clock against the Stars. And as he mentioned, I think Skinner's probably going to get into the lineup tonight. I don't think he'll play a ton, but he hasn't played since game one of the first round. So
Jeff Skinner, that is.
Jeff Skinner, sorry. Right, there's two Skinners.
If Dallas wins tonight, there's got to be some angst. It's going to start creeping in over
Well,
there.
It would be game six back in Edmonton. Uh-huh. You'd probably want to feel pretty
confident. It's the same thing with the Knicks
confident.
And Pacers tonight. It's the same kind of thing.
This is the way series go, even though this isn't necessarily true. But, right, if Dallas wins tonight, it'll feel like, even though this isn't true, it'll feel like game six is the series.
Right.
Because if you lose on home ice and allow Dallas to go back home for game seven, the Oilers will feel like it's over. Maybe not the Oilers players. The Oilers fans will feel like it is over, I think.
I mean,
it's been a long time since one of my teams played in a playoff series to kind of exercise these mentalities, but I think that's how it goes.
I mean, you're talking basically Leafs-Panthers anyway. That's kind of what happened, and it didn't go that way. Like, once it got to Game 7, the Panthers took care of business then.
Right. Edmonton was down 3-0 last year to the Panthers.
Yes.
They forced Game 7. Everyone in the world believed, oh, yeah, well, they'll definitely win Game 7. You're not going to win 4, 5, and 6 and not win 7.
I don't know if I believed that. Every game I went in going, I don't know if they could. And it was like, all right, here they go. Huh? Ooh, another one.
Florida was home for Game 7, too, so that helped them. Anyways, on the potential Stanley Cup final, which, by the way, will begin either June 4th or June 9th. I think that's right. June 4th or June 7th. It's dependent on what happens tonight. If the series ends tonight, then June 4th will be game one between the Oilers and the Panthers. 803-0550 is the question, or is the phone number. I've got a question for Sal about quarterbacks when we come back, pertaining to the upper echelon and whether there's anyone that wants to join that club this season. I'll ask that when we come back here on WGR.
It's a personal belief, and I really appreciate what he did because I understand the risk, that there's a bit of a risk. So the story goes like this. I don't believe that the coaches should shake players' hands at the end. There's this long list of people in suits and tracksuits. So they're all really important to our group, but not one of them was in the game. There's something for me visually with the camera on of just the men who played, block shots, who fought for each other. It's the end of one season. It's excitement for the other. Should be something really kind of beautiful about just the camera on those men who played shaking hands, and we should respect that.
That is Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Florida Panthers. He is not a fan of coaches being in the handshake line after the game, after the series. So he asked Rod Brind'Amour if they could skip it yesterday, and they did. And I guess he did the same with Craig Berube against Toronto, and I had missed that. Is this a weird take, an action by Maurice? Does it make sense?
I think it's really interesting. I know of coaches who in youth sports, high school specifically, don't want the kids to shake hands afterwards because, like in football, this happened.
Don't want the kids to shake hands.
Even the kids. Okay. So I've seen this in other forms where, and his reason's different.
Yeah.
I've been in situations where a coach has said, hey, just so you know, coach, no offense, we don't do that after. It's just there's too many things that throughout the game. You're competing.
Yeah.
And I can't control. Like, it's not.
Can't control everybody.
Can't control everybody. Yeah. Want to make sure nothing happens. You're kind of like, that's kind of weird. It's like sportsmanship.
That makes more sense, though, when right? you're getting with kids as opposed right. to, like, grown adults that
right.
Professionals.
So in his thing, he's saying, hey, I'm okay with shaking hands, but not the coaches. The guys on the ice are competing, and they're doing that.
Yeah,
I think if you're going to do it, the coaches should shake hands. I mean, you just went against each other as well. You matched up wits. You know each other. I don't know. It's not a big deal to me.
Yeah.
I do think it's kind of odd, though, if everybody's going to do it, why you wouldn't do it.
Right. Well, he's saying it should just be for the players.
Right.
Those are the guys that went to war. They right. should, you know, be that should be
well,
their
the coaches
thing.
Put their time in. I think, hey,
yeah.
respect for the grind you put in this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I don't know. He's been doing it a long time. And he even referenced that when he was first coming up in the coaching ranks, like that's not something that he remembered. Like, this is more of a recent phenomenon that the coaches kind of jumped into the handshake line. Paul Maurice, by the way, he has coached the second most games in NHL history. 1931. 1,931. He is only 190 games behind Scotty Bowman for the most all time. He'll definitely get there. He is only 58 years old. That's two seasons. By the way, the third most games coached in NHL history is Lindy Ruff. Any coach ever, Lindy's third all time, 1856. And only one of five coaches that's in the 900 win club. So hockey continues 8 o'clock tonight for Stars and Oilers. I was talking about this the other day. I wonder your thoughts on. I was talking about the AFC quarterback picture.
Okay.
Going into this year.
Yep.
And you even maybe could expand this to the NFL if you want. Would you not agree? There's a big four quarterbacks: Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, and Burrow.
Yes.
There's a big four. Right?
I mean, you could. There are people who go, well, where's Jalen Hurts? He's won a Super Bowl. Right, sure.
I know.
But I think that generally, when people talk about the best quarterbacks in the NFL, the most talented, the best, whatever, it's on the AFC Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, whatever order.
Right. And those, yes. All four of those guys are young. None of them hit 30. They're all here for a while. Do you think it'll become a big five?
With?
Anybody. Do you think there is anybody that,
sure, yeah,
on a year-to-year basis, yeah, they're going to be on that pinnacle that those,
like,
four
this
are
year,
on,
starting this year?
Sure.
Or when?
Does anybody take that leap this year where, okay, it's not a big four anymore, it is a big five? This guy is on that level. The guy everyone has been...
Herbert,
this is what,
right,
I said the other day. Everyone's waiting for Herbert, yes, to do it, and he hasn't done it. And the other guy that I mentioned that I think the hype was he's capable of it, and similar to Herbert, it just hasn't come together, and he might even feel further away, is Trevor Lawrence. And I don't think anybody,
I don't think anybody thinks
Lawrence is going to do it.
I don't have Lawrence doing.
The reason I say is because that's what he was as a prospect. He was slam dunk, surefire, best quarterback prospect in a decade. He's going to come in and be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That has not happened. He is not that guy. He's pretty good, but he's not. And so you don't think he's even... Do you think Herbert is the only one in the AFC that is capable of doing that? What about Stroud?
If you had asked me last year, I'd say yes.
On Stroud?
Now I'm like, not really sure. Like, I didn't like his year last year.
I didn't either.
They changed coordinators now.
Yep.
Right? The offensive line is like, what are they doing? There's a lot of question marks about the moves they've made.
What's around him, right, does not look great.
Right.
His line didn't even get... I don't even think they really did much to improve it.
I think the guys that you have to think about this for are Jordan Love.
That's a good one. I didn't think of him. Jordan Love is good.
Could you possibly think of Caleb Williams? He's only in his second year. I mean,
I would think of him after I would think of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's fair. I think that's fair. I don't think you could put Jalen Hurts there, although you know that he's right below in another tier, right?
I know.
I don't think he ever advances to the consistent. He's in that top. That what would be top five group?
No, I agree with you. I think there's a pretty general understanding, unless you probably talk to an Eagles fan, that he is good, but he is not. He's not Mahomes. He's not Josh. He's not Lamar. He's not Burrow. Right? Like, there is just, there's a gap there. He is one, but just because you're the most accomplished doesn't mean that you are one of that, you are that elite, that you are one of the best. He plays on a team that has almost a perfect roster. So I don't want to say there's nothing Jalen Hurts could do for me to put him and make that big four a big five, but I don't believe Hurts will ever show me that level of play that would put him up there. I think Daniels is the one I'd be interested in, but no one's going to do that right now. It's 1 year, and you just mentioned Stroud. You don't know that Jaden Daniels won't have that year. Stroud had a historically good rookie year, as historically good as Jaden Daniels did. No one saw that coming, Stroud having that much of a regression. That could happen to Daniels. So I would say he's likely, but you're right. Really, I feel like everyone's just waiting for Herbert to do it.
A couple of names you haven't brought up. I mean, Tua has had amazing stats.
Yeah, but he's never.
But he's never going to be on that level of consistently talked about like that, right?
Right. And like when we think of those big four guys, it is every year going in, you know, they are an elite. They're going to be one of the elite MVP level quarterbacks in the league. You know, like that's every year. Every year, those four are trusted. Like those are going to be the best guys. Whereas, like, even this was Hurts a little bit. It's definitely true of Tua. These guys will have great years, right? There will be MVP years where Matt Ryan won an MVP. There will be seasons where a good quarterback has an elite season.
Yes, yes, that's
but
right.
But the four guys that I'm...
But you're talking about consistent...
Yeah, the difference
that we always
I'm
talk about them
is every yes. year they're going to be that.
Okay. Does Drake May ever get there?
It's a good question. I feel like
I
don't think this year. I think he is probably capable of doing that, but he has got a long way to go, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I would say right now he is capable of it. He's got the athletic profile for it, and he was good enough in year one to make me think that it's in there somewhere. But they got to surround him with the right talent, and he's got to make the right steps. So maybe. Anyone else that's capable? I kind of like the list of who's capable. Herbert, Love, Daniels, May.
Maybe Caleb?
I don't know. I am, my problem with him is going to be, more and more I am respecting a quarterback's ability to not take sacks.
Yeah.
Maybe that's,
it is,
that
it
could
is,
be my bias of watching Josh Allen for a living.
It is, you more know, and more becoming known that it's more of a quarterback stat than an offensive line stat than people ever knew.
Yes.
Right now, you could be an offensive line breakdown, no doubt. And they could they could really stink and not be good on a good unit, and you take sacks.
Right.
But I think we're learning more and more that this is more of a quarterback stat than we ever realized in our lives.
Right. And those, and the other thing about sacks that, more and more when you study these things and you look at like the impact on games and impact on a drive, more and more, like just reading about the impact of that, sacks are drive killers. Like I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but there's a crazy decrease in your likelihood to score on a drive if you take a sack. Because you take a sack and now it's second and 16, mm-hmm. and instead of that 3 yard gain giving you, you know, a 60% chance to still convert the first down, now you have like a 10% chance that you're going to convert the first down. Like, they're drive killers. All this long story, because you asked about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams takes sacks, and he took sacks in college, and then he showed up in the NFL, and not to say their line was good, he took the most sacks in the league was 68. He lost 466 yards to sacks last season.
Yeah, he's got to be better than that, with that, no doubt.
He's got a coach that might be able to get it out of him, though. Right? Ben Johnson is a very good coach, so we'll see. So I don't know, though. You can be wrong about these things. I didn't think accuracy could be taught, and Josh Allen now is like one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league. Can not taking sacks be taught? Or is that something that is ingrained in you? Like, that's not something Allen ever had to learn. Allen showed up in the league with a pretty good awareness of what was around him, feeling pressure. Like, that's not one of the things.
But he has also become better at not taking sacks.
And he has gotten better, too.
I mean, last year they, like, set records, basically.
Right.
For the fewest amount of sacks.
I watch Caleb Williams, and I just feel like he has no idea what's going on around him. His eyes are down the field, but when he doesn't feel it coming. You know? Almost like, that was Lossman, wasn't it? He never knew what was around him. Guy was hitting from behind, and he had no idea he was there.
It's this conversation.
That's Caleb Williams.
The next guys, the capable guys, anybody, it's all young guys, obviously, you could understand why. But it's funny, because you're a big Stafford guy, and you didn't put him there. It's just too much.
No, he's...
He's too far away from that now?
Yeah, I think it's just a little too old for me at this point in time. I mean, he's still very good. Very good quarterback. Actually, I would take his cue from it. I heard him on a podcast recently, because someone was talking up, it might have been actually who was Josh's quarterback coach, Jordan Palmer. I think Jordan Palmer was talking about it with him, that quarterbacks like hold Stafford, like quarterbacks, guys that are in the profession, hold Stafford up on a pedestal because of the arm talent that he had. Like, that dude could make every throw on the field. He can make crazy throws that some guys couldn't make. And they were talking about that, and Stafford's like, yeah, I can't, there's a lot of those throws I can't make anymore.
Interesting.
Like, there's a chunk of throws that I could make when I was 32 years old that I can't make.
How many guys playing in the league who have expectations say something like that?
Probably not a lot.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't say that.
No. You got to feel secure in your
in
yourself. So maybe that's Stafford. 803-0550, the phone number if you want to squeak a call. And we've got Extendo Sports coming up, and then Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show after that.
You're Joe, on Extendo Sports, there was something we talked about earlier, and it's unbelievable that one of our listeners put something together that relates to it, and I cannot wait to tell you.
Ooh.
I cannot wait.
I can't wait to see what this is. Okay, that's coming back.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Joe, this is all right, amazing. What do you got? Okay. I mean, we were talking earlier about the Kevin Bacon game. It's called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
6 Degrees of Separation from Kevin Bacon, whatever you want to call it. It's basically you could take any actor in any movie or actress and say, oh, they were in this movie with this person, who's in this movie with this person, and within six you'll get to Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
Truth is, you could probably do it with almost any actor, right? Someone once said it's just more fun with Kevin Bacon, but he's been in so many things. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this earlier, and Paul on Twitter, thank you, Paul, X, says, here is Sal Capaccio's pathway to Kevin Bacon. Sal Capaccio in Holiday Touchdown, A Bill's Love Story with Matthew Daddario.
Uh-huh.
Matthew Daddario in Holiday Touchdown with Harry Shum Jr. So I guess you can do the same one there. Harry Shum Jr. in Shadowhunters and Crazy Rich Asians with Constance Wu. Constance Wu in Crazy Rich Asians and the film Hustlers with Julia Stiles. Julia Stiles in Hustlers and Silver Linings Playbook with Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings Playbook and The Midnight Meat Train with Kevin Bacon. There it is.
I think you could probably get any person who's been in a movie then to Kevin Bacon. You got the Bradley Cooper, too.
There you go. I mean, I don't even know. I can't even confirm any of these, but I think they're movies and they're TV series. But either way, someone did it. Paul, thank you for the hustle, though. That is amazing that someone did that. I appreciate it. It's super cool.
Who's your favorite actor?
Ever?
Ever.
Ooh. Big Pacino fan.
Pacino.
De Niro. I mean, I love the mafia movies. You know, think the mob movies. Leonardo DiCaprio is incredible.
Okay.
I think he's so versatile. I don't know if I have a favorite. I just think some of these.
All right, well let's take DiCaprio. Do we think we could get you to DiCaprio in 6 Degrees?
Sure, I'm sure you can. Daniel Day-Lewis, I love.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah. I think he's amazing.
I bet we can get you to Pacino, too. Was Bradley Cooper and Al Pacino ever in a movie together?
Oh, they had to be, right?
No, they've never been together, but I bet I could find someone.
They've never been in one together.
I bet I could find Cooper in a movie with someone who's been in one with Al Pacino pretty easily.
Yeah.
See what you
pretty
get there.
Sure we could do that.
Bradley Cooper is really your branch, I feel like, to anybody in the sphere you want.
There you go.
You could get there.
Real quick, couple things. Number one, Chris Manhertz, who went to Canisius to play basketball, never once played football in his life, gets a tryout with the Bills, makes the team years ago, has just re-signed with the Giants for his 11th year in the NFL as a tight end.
All right.
Never once played football, went to Canisius, played basketball, which is amazing. And the other, did you see the whole Kenny Albert thing yesterday?
He passed his dad in games broadcasted, right?
He did, in national games.
Yeah,
and a lot of people probably didn't realize. I actually had people tell me they didn't realize Kenny Albert was Marv Albert's son.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I knew that.
Yes. He's passed Marv Albert for a number of national play-by-play games broadcast.
Interesting. Hey, there's still time to get the WGR VIP golf card if you want. It's a low price, $129. You get 8 awesome golf experiences: Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th hole golf course, Bobolinks, and Golf Dojo, plus a free box of Vero 1 X1 golf balls, deals at Rick Zurak Golf Warehouse on Transit of Bowmansville. So get all those details, and you can purchase at at getmyperks.com. That'll do it for us. We'll come back for a Friday. Tomorrow's Friday already? Memorial Day.
Be back. I'll be in Studio Capaccio tomorrow with you.
All right. So come back for that, and stay tuned for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is on the way next here on WGR.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. 0 account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.